I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
All right, everyone, welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast. Do I even know what it's called? The podcast about sex, relationships, the patriarchy, and all things in between. I'm your host, Millie Tamaris, a.k.a. Millie T, a.k.a. Wactose Intolerant, a.k.a. formerly known as Swaggetti and Meatballs. I'm here in studio with the co-host, Candy Haro. Candy Haro. Don't make you Googleable. They ain't gonna forget the spelling of your name.
No one gives a fuck.
So we have a great, great, great episode with Real Housewives live reading none other than Alex Better. He is literally like one of the only people I will 100% classify as a papi chula.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Papacito.
Sweetest angel.
Sweetest, but super smooth.
Oh, my goodness.
You know. Just... he's gay, but he's a womanizer somehow still. He's a manonizer for sure, too. Great.
Just raised right. Just what a pleasure.
So, great. So, but before that, you know I have to start every episode with my trash dick anthology. If I could run write like an 18 chapter All Dick is Trash origin story book, each of these stories would be in it. So on this one, we have the story of this guy. I'll give him the name Michael. And, you know, it was a guy we went on like a few dates. We went on, so he tells me to meet him like right after work. And like after work, a bitch is hungry. So we go and he tells me to meet him like right at 6. So that means I'm going straight from work uptown to Central Park at 6. And okay, we go to the fucking, we're in the middle of Central Park, like, and I'm like,
what season
there's nothing
is this?
To do. This is like early fall, like late summer. Mm-hmm. So it's nice out. It's nice. But like we're like in the middle of the park, like he didn't bring anything, like no food, nothing. So we're just in the middle park staring at each other. And I'm like, okay, so what are we supposed to do? Like, just talk? Like, okay, let's just make out. And then we're about to kiss. And he's like, oh, shit. And then he, like, spits out his gum. Like, he was just so awkward and was, like, bad kissing. And then I had to pee. And then I was like, okay, where's the bathroom? He's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, why would you bring me to a park if you don't know? And I'm like, yo, can we get something? And he's like, oh, yeah. It was just a bad day. I had to, and then I was like, you know what? Let's just go to a comedy show. Then after the comedy show, I'm like, okay, well, let's go. Like, I'm very, very hungry. Let's at least go get, like go to Alligator Lounge and get, like, a beer and pizza. Like, get me something. Show me that you know. And then he was like, we walk into Alligator Lounge, and he was like, this is too much for me, and, like, walks out. So I couldn't even get, like, a pizza with a beer. So,
like, the people or, like, the $5 beers?
I don't even care. So then I was like, you know what? This is going nowhere. Let's just go to this park by my crib and let's make out, and then there's whatever. So we're in this park and we're kissing, and it was bad. And, like, now I would never, like, tolerate, like, kissing bad. You know what I mean?
Was this Baby Millie?
This was Baby Millie. This was, I was, like, 23, 24.
That's why you kept making out in so many parks?
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Was this when you lived in the Bronx? You couldn't make out in your living room?
No, this I was living in Williamsburg. This was so stupid. So we're kissing, and then it's just, like, so bad. He's just, like, bear hugging me, like kind of, like, aggressively. It was bad. And then we're kissing, and we're kissing for a long time, too. Because I'm like, maybe if we kiss, like, he'll get more comfortable and it'll get better. Which was such a Baby Millie thing to think. So we're kissing for a long time in the park. And I'm like, out of the corner of my eye, I see a Hasidic Jewish man. And, like, driving. And he, like, was, because it's right on the entrance of the BQE. So I'm thinking he's going on the highway. And he does it. He, like, stops and he kind of, like, turns the corner. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm, like, thinking, like I'm still making out with this guy. But I'm like, oh, this guy's looking for parking. And then he does it. Like, then he just parks and watches us for, like, 20 minutes.
You know, he just wishes he was Michael.
I don't know what the fuck that dog was. But he was not young. That's he was, like, an old guy. And then.
In a minivan?
In a fucking minivan. Then, after that, like, whatever. Then Michael pushes me off of him to be, because he was checking his phone periodically, but whatever. Michael pushes me off of him and he's like, my dad's here. I have to go. And he fucking runs away and gets in his dad's car. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, and I'm just like, what? And then he texts me, he's like, hello, sorry about that. And I'm like, dude, fuck you. I'm too old for this. At 23, I already decided I was too old for that.
And you still hadn't had a meal?
And I still hadn't had a meal. Fuck that guy. And he was just, and I ended up ghosting that guy. Sorry. Well, that's it.
Well, what a good intro to more trash dick confessions. Yes. All right, let's see what we got today from my friends and not me.
Candy, we get it. You write all of these things. These are all your stories.
I have equally garbage friends. All right. So I had gone out with this boy for 2 months and we had tons in common. We finally hooked up and I was super nervous and got too drunk. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep on him during sex, like immediately. He's married now. Not to me. I'm trash.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like she's trash. That I would be so sad if somebody fell asleep. I know it happens.
Yeah.
But it hasn't happened to me, and I don't know if my ego could handle it.
That's trash dick confessions.
That's trash dick confessions. Listen up for a great interview with Alex Petter.
The sweetest.
I got drunk last night, obvi, and are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, yeah.
Cut the cameras, dead ass.
Cut the cameras, dead ass. No, there's this guy that sucks, you know, that and he likes me on or he follows me on Twitter. I don't follow him back, but I just looked on his Twitter for the first time last night and I saw that he's like hardcore Yang gang.
Oh wow.
Like super, super, he fucks with Yang heavy. Like all his posts.
This just, I'm sorry, I've never heard hardcore Yang Gang.
You never, but you, do you know those people?
I understand, no, I get it, but it's just, just the context.
Yeah, so like, and I was texting my friend about it, and she didn't write me back, and I sent her like 15 texts, and I'm like, oh my God, you donated to Andrew Yang. It's fucked up. Anyway, I'm so excited, y'all. I've been a huge fan since day one. Papi Chulo, here we have Alex Beater.
Hey.
Better Alex, honey. Better. Better, honey. Let's just
already
go through.
Fucking
I, you know what I used to say to people? Like, think of like someone who makes beds. A better.
A right? Better.
That just makes me think of a bedwetter.
Isn't it a bookie?
What?
A bookie.
A bookie.
Oh, no, bookie collects beds. I was talking to someone. I'm like, I'd be a good bookie.
You know, like a cobbler, a better, you know, like that kind of, yeah.
All right, let's just go through your background.
Oh.
You are a gift guad.
You have the best gifts. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he.
Oh my God.
He does.
So good.
An avid tote collector.
I do like a tote.
We love a tote, honey. Writer. Mm. Content guru.
Oh,
and
wow.
And comedian.
This is Millie. I should let you like write copy for my website or like.
You should let me write copy.
Yeah, but
you it's you.
It's a team.
This is you, Queen
it's
Producer.
It's a team.
Queen Stalker.
But and then also.
Thank you. This is so lovely.
Infamously, how we met, I think, right, was Real Housewives.
Real Housewives brought us together. Real Housewives and Natalie Walker, and like what kind? That's a combo made in heaven.
Connection,
because we did an episode of Real House of Orange County
when they went to Ireland
trip.
Yes,
and you played Kelly Dodd,
which, you know what, I stand.
You were a fantastic.
Do you know Kelly Dodd?
I'm trying to remember.
It doesn't matter. She's just like,
was that the one, Mexican? The baseball one? Oh yes,
but she's like, you know, the California Mexican.
She's always yelling, and she's like, wants a divorce.
Yeah, she's like California Mexican, and that. They don't claim it, kind of like, you know what I'm talking
about? You're not Mexican after third generation.
Yeah, that's what they try to say.
Like, unless like on taxes or like.
She, like, she's fascinating to me because like her first season, she went all in and people were very put off by her. Like people were like a lot of people I know were like, oh God, like she cannot. And somehow like she has. Through like just some charisma, like been able to bounce back from that.
Yeah, I feel like that's me, you know.
She
I
married...
feel like people can be very put off by me at first, yeah, but then they like unpack a little, and then they're like, "No, this bitch is cool."
But I mean, also it's like just housewives in general. Like,
oh yeah,
the majority of them are horrible people.
Okay, and... before we get too deep into the housewives, because I do want to eventually get to that, but I want to go on a little journey. And I want to talk about you.
Yes, talk about me.
Talk about you. So the name of the podcast is All Dick is Trash. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like. That's my philosophy. That's what resonates with me. That's how I see the world. But I understand that's not how everyone sees the world. And I want to know if you think all dick is trash and what your thoughts on
it. If I think all dick is trash, I think at the baseline, we must assume dick is trash until it's proved otherwise. And only through your actions, because I think inherently most dick is trash inherently. So the only way to kind of get past that is to prove you're not trash, and then we can proceed onwards.
Yes,
that was so eloquent.
So
I've never
eloquent.
Heard
That's
such
why
a
you're
good...
the content god. That's why you're the content guru. Like, you know, when you get like social media jobs, they're like, we're looking for a rock star. That's you, bitch.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, anyone who's like guru or rock star.
Those are major red flags. And like anything, like, you know, they really flower up that language to make you work around the clock and basically
pull your hair
out. Does
that mean just like the CEO's like a racist and you have to hide it?
No, that would be if you have thick skin. Looking for someone with thick skin.
I don't know. Alex pointed and almost said probably.
perhaps.
This is a place of disagreement. Look, we're in the matriarchy right now in this room. And in the matriarchy, everyone has a say. Everyone has a voice. And there are choices. But ultimately, my word is law. That would be the milliarchy. Yeah, okay, so you say you assume all dick is trash until proven otherwise.
Mm.
How'd you get there?
How'd I get there? I think, I mean, in my experience, right, I don't think, when we say all dick is trash, I think, and you can, if I am reading your kind of point of view incorrectly mm-hmm. here, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me does not necessarily have a negative connotation, right? Like in the sense of, like, I think a lot of people act like trash and they don't mean to. People who are outwardly like trying to hurt people, like, I think those people are an actual smaller pocket, right? Like, we tend to say a lot like, oh, I think he was a sociopath. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, most of the time, I don't think so. Like, really. Like, what I think is, like, people have their own stuff, and they come into a relationship or a situation with that stuff, and maybe they don't like always do the best job of dealing with it. And that's like my own point of view as well. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot about myself, especially probably in the last like 10 years or so, that really like gives me like a perspective, especially like relationships and dating with people, that kind of reminds you like, okay, like, people might be coming into this situation with their own stuff. Maybe they haven't even really dealt with it, and like having a little bit of like compassion, but also respect for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a good balance. Try to have. It's hard to have, but it's a good one.
Yeah, and you have to get to that place of like understanding. Because for me, again, I would just always internalize the shit that people would do.
Mm.
I feel like two things. I agree with you that like people go in and people don't deal with it. Especially men don't deal with their shit, and then they come into something. And I feel like too, everyone is really obsessed with being nice.
Oh my God.
And not being kind.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's a huge difference, and that's like what I've grown to know, of like, a nice guy doesn't want to hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A kind guy knows that you're a nice person, doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. So they will withhold stuff that they feel like would hurt you.
Yeah.
Where a kind person knows that feelings are going to be hurt no matter what. But in the long run, it's better for you to know these things, you know?
Yes.
And I feel like those two things of people not dealing with it, and also like people not dealing with their stuff and then still wanting you to be like nice, or like to think of them like good, or not to have your feelings hurt or whatever. But it's like not even, and I was just reading about something about like, it's not even like about your feelings. It's like, it's tough for them to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about them than it is about the other person.
You like just, oh my God. I just felt some like magical symmetry here. Like, first of all, yeah, I agree that like men are probably more, more likely to kind of not know how to deal with their stuff because they're not like really socialized to. That's not to say they're not still responsible for it. They're still responsible, but like a lot of things are like they're not really socialized to like even like really like reflect like on themselves and their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then
not encouraged to.
Yeah, they're not encouraged
socialized or encouraged.
And that's not to say that they are at the end of the day still responsible for what they do and say. But I will say that like the thing with nice and kind is like, I was literally walking in over here today thinking about like, oh, I really want to talk about nice versus kind.
Because
I feel like that's like kind of personal to me, in the sense that like, I feel like for many years, I was a nice guy. I was like very like, and it's not to say like, I don't think in many of my relationships, I think I did treat the other person pretty well. But like, one, it came from a place of like low self-esteem and low self-worth, that I felt like I needed to behave and act in a certain way because I wasn't worth being in a relationship with.
Mm.
But if I treated them spectacularly, then I would be worth being in a relationship with. And then that, what that does is that raises all the expectations of like, and I would be doing for the other person.
Yeah.
From both the place simultaneously of caring about them, but also it was about me.
Yeah, expecting.
In a certain way. And then what would happen is I would eventually like get to a point where I would be like, I'm not getting a lot back out of this relationship because I'm in overdrive.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to figure out like, oh, I go into overdrive because like I think me on my own, I'm not worth the time of day. And then like that was like the nice versus kind thing, right? Because like when you're like, I'm a nice person. Mm-hmm. There's like you start to have like an expectation there that I think is maybe actually a little bit unfair. Mm. But like kindness is being a little bit more present and being a little bit more like, I don't want to say like authentic because I think you can authentically just be nice, but like it's a little bit more, it's a little less about you. And it's a little bit more like actionable and like something you have to like kind of be aware of. Like there's an awareness to it. Mm. And so like that's like at a certain point I was like in many of my relationships with many of my exes, I feel like I was like too much of like this like nice guy. And it took me a while to like learn like, okay, like maybe my intentions are good, but like this is not maybe coming from the best place. Mm. And I kind of reevaluated that after a while.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. Like, and also like you, when you're kind and you like, when you're kind to others, you're also kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that makes you like a better person to be around in general, because it's like when I take care of me and my interests are like, you know,
right,
taken care of, then I'm not having these expectations on you, you know, and I can like, you know, be there because I want to, you know what I mean? As opposed to like, I'm here because I want you to know that I'm nice and all this other shit.
Yeah, you can only really mesh with people that are in the same like mental capacity, mental health, like status that you are at that time. Otherwise, like they're going to get on your nerves or there's going to be some kind of insecurities. Yeah. So usually when I find I'm in a bad space, I'm like with really shitty people.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing really well, I'm just happy and fulfilled by all my friends.
Yeah.
You know, not true altruism, but enough that like I am happy just by my actions and I'm not expecting them when something goes wrong in my life to be like, why weren't you there for me?
Yeah.
Like why? Not up to them.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand. I totally understand the overdrive thing too, because I've totally felt that in like the past two years. My Saturn return has been me kind of understanding that I don't have to be on overdrive, and that what overdrive, you know what I mean? Overdrive being nice for others is taking a toll on me and like what that means and stuff. Like that's just something on my journey. So we got like a little like abstract and probably philosophical.
Yeah.
Also, just to point out, this kind man brought cupcakes.
Yes, and I ate half of them. And I'm on a diet, and I'm all right. He's on a diet, and he's watching me. Like, well, I'm gonna fuck this up. I ate half of it. Looked at him in the eye.
Man. Well, like I brought the cupcakes because that. Yeah, maybe that is an act of kindness, but also that's just my mother in my head. Me walking over and her being like, "You don't show up to someone's like." Home, which I feel like we're in a beautiful home right
now.
Yeah,
we are in a beautiful
home. This studio is like a nice home. I was like, you don't show up without like bringing something, especially during the holiday season.
That's raised right and a nice boy. Jesus.
What a catch. But yeah, I want to hear about, you know, we got abstract, but I want to hear like, when did you start dating?
Mm.
And all of that. Were you dating in high school?
I started dating in high school. And I was like pretty privileged as a queer man to start dating in high school. Just from the fact that I was coming up through high school in a moment that was very interesting in that Facebook and MySpace were a thing that you could connect to people through. I think technology has really changed, especially for like young queer youth. Like
yes.
How they connect now. Mm. I mean, like now I'm sure it's even more.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure it has changed a lot even since I was a teen. So like when I was a teenager, like I remember I used to go on Facebook and you used to be able to search like men interested in men.
Aww.
And like you could see people around your age and like maybe like you poke someone and they poke you back and then like you'd start chatting. So like I could go on dates and stuff. But also like
when did you come out?
I came out my freshman year of high school. Okay. So I was around like 14.
And what were your parents like?
I will preference my parents are fantastic.
No, I know.
Super supportive.
I met them
people.
He had a housewarming.
My parents love Millie.
I love your parents so much.
They're going to be so, so excited when I tell them what I was doing today. And
well, yeah, they could listen. But like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I want to hear about your coming out. I mean, not telling me your coming out story, but like.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, I didn't like really cut. My parents like discovered a note in my room from a boy that I was like kind of talking to and stuff who was at my high school. That was the other thing. There was like a lot of there's a lot of gay boys at my high school, which is also unusual. I mean, I've talked to so many people who it's like, oh, I was the only like gay person I knew
probably,
in high school
yeah.
and all this stuff at the time. But like there was like a couple and one was talking to me, he like left me a note and my mom found the note in my room. And then like I will say from the jump, it was a little bit it was uncomfortable for a little while. And I definitely ruined one Christmas. But
why did you say you ruined a Christmas?
Oh, because it happened around Christmas. And then my parents were like very
were they shocked that you were gay?
They were shocked. But like, I don't understand that because
yeah,
like,
I know. I'm like,
I was like fully like watching Cats on VHS, like wearing a raggedy blanket, like singing along with Memory. Like I feel like it was very in your face.
But
you know, people see what they want to see again, like expectations.
Yeah.
And my parents were like a little bit uncomfortable at first, but they like really came around. I mean, like even in years, like, you know, all through high school, it's like they really kind of grew into the idea that their son was gay. But even through like years where it was awkward, my mom would like drive me to dates.
Aww.
And like knew I was like meeting a boy or like that I had a boyfriend. And like she, you know, she loved me like
yeah.
and at the end of the day, and like not everyone has that.
No,
and like definitely. So that to me,
I mean,
is
people
like,
don't even like
I'm very
a
grateful.
Lot of straight people don't even have that,
right? So I feel like very grateful about it. But like I started dating when I was like yeah like 14 15 with like a guy from my school.
Yeah.
And then I would like meet boys from other towns.
Yeah.
At the very tail end of high school, I had like a high school sweetheart kind of situation. So I started like going on dates and stuff pretty early, and it's like I was able to also like I don't know, when you'd like date as a teen, I feel like you can at least start to not fully understand like a human dynamic and human relationships, but like at least like you start like getting your toes wet, and that was good because I don't know. I feel like sometimes a lot of people come out like in college or after college because of their situation, whatever
yeah.
it may be. Not everyone's, you know, has the support or
yeah.
the environment to do so earlier. But it's like, I don't know. When I was in college, like I noticed some guys like acting a little, you know, like getting those like
high school.
Yeah. Getting yeah. that all out like during,
It doesn't matter what it is. If you're ever,
exactly.
yeah, like,
so
it could be not drinking. It could be like anything. And once you hit college, it's all inhibitions. Like,
not to say that, like, I was like, I mean, I was, and I still mess up in relationships even now, but it's like, you know, you're always like growing. But I will say that, like, I was like, I got to college and I was already kind of like, you know, like, gone on dates with boys. I've had boyfriends and stuff. So I felt like a little bit more comfortable, like a little
yeah.
earlier. And this was all pre-Glee. So, like, this was, like, pre
So, your dating is...
this was before the Ryan Murphy industrial complex, like, really, like, drove home the point that, like, you can be a little gay boy in high school. And
yeah. That teenage dream. yeah.
Oh, God.
Teenage dream. That was good. That was, like, I'm not a Glee person, but...
Oh, well, I only watched the first,
dream
like,
cover was great.
Two seasons. And sometimes people will show me clips from the show from, like, later seasons. I'll be like... When did this happen?
Yeah.
Like Sue Sylvester doing like super bass is like a meme on Twitter.
Oh,
and it's like, when did this happen?
I don't know. But people say like if Glee was happening now, they would do the entire Lemonade album.
Oh, it would be insufferable.
Yeah. So two questions, right? I want to hear a little bit about like I kind of get the difference with like dating in college versus dating in high school in general, but I want to know, like, I mean, you kind of said it, but like, and just how dating even in college and like now as an adult in New York City, how that is. And then also too, like when you were younger, there's like this narrative of like older men like trying to talk to young gay teens and kind of like mentor, like, you know, the call me by your name kind of narrative thing of an older man mentoring. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Have you had an experience about that? And like, what do you think about that? Like, for me, like, I guess my question is like, I just asked you two really loaded questions, but I think it's creepy when like an older guy hits on a young girl. And I feel like, most of society is like kind of on board with that. But when it comes to like gay men, it's kind of split.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean, like, it's nuanced, right?
Yeah, it's
not
nuanced.
All those relationships are okay, and some of the dynamics there are super questionable. However, there is like a history, right, of like the older guard in the community taking the younger guard under their wing, and your gay elders, you know, showing you the way. And there's both like positives and negative nets to that, but like, you know, there's value there, right? But however, yeah, like when it's an older person and a younger person, there's automatically usually like a power dynamic that's like out there. I never really had much of that. I don't know what it is. Like, I've never had I never really feel like I've had like a mentor. And also, like, romantically or sexually, like, I have like seen older men. And I don't know. Like, sometimes it's been really great, really cool. Sometimes, like, again, like, I think that power dynamic is like really questionable. And also, sometimes some of these, like, a couple of like guys that who I've like dated or seen who are older, like, don't know how to act. Like, it's like, and that's like, I think, like, a product of like, they never really maybe like learn to like change or like grow, and they're very kind of stuck in their ways. And like, I don't know, but I like kind of also like, I kind of rejected, I feel like, more of like the daddy taking me under my wing vibe. Cause I remember like when I was in college, I started hanging out with this guy who was like a bit older. He was like in his like late 40s. So I was like, what, like 20 or 21, and he was like a bit older than me. But he was like, you know, like, oh, I want to, like, I'll take you on this trip, or like, we can do this together. And like, I don't know what it was, but I was like, no, that's not what I want from this. Which, like, in retrospect, I was kind of like, why did I not take this trip? But maybe it's like, I sensed like that dynamic like was not going to be healthy.
Yeah,
because
then he could hold it over you and shit.
Well,
that kind of shit has never been like attractive to me either. But that's like a personality
thing. Like intergenerational dating, like it's kind of like, it's to me, it's like kind of like case by case. It's like there's sometimes where it's like. And it matters, like, also what the age difference is, but, like, it sometimes
and
it
when.
Is. And when in your
it's
life
like
it's happening.
A 30-year-old and a 50-year-old is, like, you know? So, but, you know, like, 20 and 35?
Yeah. Right. Like, that's, like, I don't know. It's, like, I think it's, like, kind of, like, it really depends on, like, what the dynamic is here and the two individuals involved. And, like, but I would say, like, what we see time and time again, especially if it's like a younger person and an older person, is that like the dynamic maybe isn't the most, has the potential to not be healthy.
It's always such a red flag anytime you go out with someone that's older, and it's like, oh, order whatever you want, like, I'll pay for it. I'm like, yeah, of course, fuck you were paying for it to begin with. But don't be, oh my god, thank you so much, like, but I'm so excited you can provide, like.
And I mean, it feels good to be taken care of. I mean, it's just like a preference thing, because some people don't want to think at all and, like, you know, just want someone to take care of them. But like, that's just.
But it doesn't matter if it's just like, it's just the power of saying like, oh, I can take it. Like, I got this. I'm the. Yeah. I don't know. It's
the power
creepy.
Is like, and like power, the power and the respect is like, I think majorly where the issue lies. Because for some people, like, that's like a healthy relationship, and for some people, that is like, you know, having like being romantically linked to maybe someone who's a little bit older, but also someone who's a little bit more like financially sound than mm-hmm. you is a way of like surviving for some people, right? Yeah. Like it's, you know, like it's that's a reality, like yeah. especially when you're young and you don't have that foundation, you don't have that yeah. or that support. So yeah. I think it like again, it like mm-hmm. all really it's depends. Case by case. It's okay. like I know. I don't so think there's any like answer to that.
Until proven true. Otherwise. Intergenerational dating is case by case.
Exactly.
And that is the better law, honey. let's move on. Okay. So what was your most trash experience?
My most trash experience.
Sexual relationship could be anything.
Oh, God. I mean, like, most trash, because, like, I know what you want to hear. First
no,
one,
no,
no, I've told you,
you do whatever. But, you're going to tell that story not, anyway.
Yeah, but that's not, because that's not, like, the most trash to me. I think that was yeah. just, like.
That's just a yeah, funny
but,
thing.
And we'll get into that in a minute. But I will say, like, most trash experience. Oh, God. Like, I feel like no one's ever and I'm maybe I'm lucky, like no one's like I've had like breakups, but they've never been where I've been like really just like
maybe you're the trash.
Well, I will say that like what I find in most relationships is again, like I would like do a lot. And then like with that, like I would start to expect a lot. Mm. And I think for some people that was like this is like too much.
Yeah.
And like in retrospect and like reflecting on that, I was like, oh, I gotta like, you know, like I can like be caring and like thoughtful. But, like, I gotta, like, be a little bit more balanced with my expectations here. Yeah. And I can't, like, be putting someone in a situation where, like, they feel like they have to, where they have to give so much to, like, match me. And then, like, I'm gonna be disappointed when they're not.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, that. So, yeah, I think I'm totally, like, I feel like I've been trash at some point, even though maybe I didn't, like, intend to
mm-hmm.
be. I also think being on this podcast is important to hold myself accountable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just sit here and, like, talk about, like, exes and, like, bad experiences. But, like, I remember, oh, God, probably the thing I feel worst about is, like, in high school, I once broke up with, like, this boy I've been dating for, like, 3 months or so. Because wow. it was not gelling. It was, like, I think we were, like, he was in, like, a different place with, like, figuring out his life and like being gay with his family. Yeah. I was a little bit more like starting to feel comfortable and confident. I think there was like a couple of areas where like we were just not matching, but like I feel and like I've learned my lesson, never again. I broke up with him over a phone call, and like luckily like doing that at like what, like 16, like I realized really quickly like, ooh, this was not the right way to go about this.
Why,
but like,
why do you say that? Why was it not nice?
I think you got to do that face to face. If you've invested some time with this person, there's obviously feelings there. As long as it's safe, you got to do it face to face.
Yeah. How did you learn? Was he crying or something?
He was obviously like very upset, and like yeah. I didn't feel good about how yeah. it went down anyway, but like I was just like dumb and like yeah. did not really like think it through.
Yeah.
And like on the flip side, it's like, you know, a couple of years ago, like I got kind of started to get dumped over the phone.
Yeah.
And this was after I was dating this guy and I was really into him. But then again, I think I was in a place where I was really throwing myself into it because I liked him a lot mm-hmm. and like really trying to like prove that I was worth dating.
Yeah.
I think it started to like just maybe like be a little bit too much. And I think eventually like he was just uncertain of like how he really like felt about the situation. And we went to dinner, and the whole we were going to dinner and to meet my best friend. She's a chef. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't met any of my friends yet. I met most of his friends. But I was introducing him to my best friend. We were going to her restaurant. Gonna come out and say hi. We had to wait for a table first, so like he was kind of like he was stressed about school or something, or we started talking about it, and then he started kind of talking about our relationship and how he felt about it, and I could tell he was like I don't know about this a little bit. That was like the subject of the conversation. And I was like really like, hey, like I really like you, so like what's the deal? And like mm-hmm. but like probably really like because I wanted to obviously keep dating him, like turned up the pressure for him in terms of like, well, you know, I really like you and I feel like this is like going well. And we went to dinner. We do the dinner. He meets my friend. And it felt like things had dissipated. And we had plans for me to go stay at his place after that. And I go home and he went to his apartment. I went home to get my stuff to go to his apartment. And like, as I packed my stuff, I get a call from him. And he's like starting to cry. And he was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And I was like, and in that moment, I was just so like, we were fine, like, you know, an hour ago, like when we were having this dinner and you met my friend. And now all of a sudden, but like what the problem was is like he did not want to hurt my feelings. And it, maybe it was not working for him for whatever reasons. And maybe like I was doing too much. And it, he did not want to hurt my feelings, though. And I think he just kept going through it. And but I told him, I was like, you need to come over. Like,
yeah, you can't.
You need to come over right now. And like, let's just, if this is like how this is going to happen, let's just like have it out. And like, and I was mad at the time, but like in my mind, I was like,
yeah,
you can't do this over the phone. Cause that's something like, I was like, I cannot do this over the phone.
16.
I was, and from the flip side of like me being like, this is not good to like, to do this over the phone. So I would say, you know, don't be trash. rule is don't break up with someone over the phone, it, as long as it's, you know, safe. As long as you don't.
Yeah, as long as it's safe. So speaking earlier, you were talking about red flags. What were some red flags that you've like ignored in the past?
Oh gosh, I'm really good at ignoring them. Like I'm like super good at ignoring red flags. Like I've dated guys who've just like. Like maybe like you know what I especially ignore it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if a guy's like doing a lot for me from the jump, if a guy's like, I had a guy once who was like, what's your dream date? And I was like, oh, I would like to like go eat here, you know, I forget what the dream date was, but it included like a hotel stay. Like I was just like kind of like thinking,
spitballing,
like,
yeah, whatever.
Spitballing, like this, like kind of, but like a romantic evening, not even just like a little. He was like, no, I want your dream date. And I'm like, it would be a whole night. I just centered around us doing things together. We stayed at a hotel, all this stuff. And then, like, that weekend, he was like, took me on the exact date that I kind of had pitched. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, he likes me so much.
Yeah.
How long have you been dating?
We had been dating like 2-3 weeks. Yeah. Not long. So like this was all like like a lot. Like, and on the,
but yeah, that would be, yeah, that would impress me too. I'd be like, oh wow.
Right.
And oh, then no. what was that an indicator?
Oh, he had related? A boyfriend the whole time. Or like he was still seeing his ex.
Oh. I thought he like would want to wear like, your skin.
Things with his ex were not like resolved, I guess. Yeah. And so we like and like, you know, and like it, we only dated like maybe like a month or so before like I found that out and we stopped seeing each other. And like honestly, like not the end of the world. I think he was just like in a place where like he was
not a good place, yeah.
Very unsure of like what he wanted. Yeah. But like a red flag would have been like, oh, like the fact that like this is so much so quickly, and for someone like me who is kind of scared about having worth or feeling wanted, like it was like, you know, it was like catnip to me. I was like, yes, like this is so good, I'm so into this. And now it's like if someone like dropped that much on me, I would probably be like, okay, wait, I need to reassess what's happening here.
Yeah.
But no, like I would say like in the end it all like turned out fine, like no hard feelings, but
that's a
I got a really nice date out of it.
Okay. This one is, this question. Did you sell your woman burning things Tumblr to utilitysavingsexpert.com?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I used to have a Tumblr called Women Burning Things. And it was just gifts of women setting things on fire.
I'm obsessed. I love fire.
This was, like, a while ago. This was, like, remember, like, when Tumblrs used to be, like, have, like, little breakoffs?
Yeah.
And, like, you used to just, like, make, like, kind of, like, a themed Tumblr around something. So, like, I was just, like, I noticed I was using the images a lot and for different things and different reactions. And this is also, like, a pre-Giphy world. So, like, GIFs were, like, not as, like, commonly, like, just available. Like, you can, like, really, I didn't even think you can Google image search a GIF at this point. So like I had it and I was like, I started this little blog and like people like enjoyed it. And it was fun just like looking for these images because I was like, okay, like, and I think I did an interview about this and like, I forget where. In the interview, I was like, you know, which I think is true. Like, I'm like, there's something more satisfying to me, like to watch like a woman or a femme like setting something on fire.
I love.
I did not sell it. Is the point? No. I just like closed it down after a while. Like I closed down by like all my Tumblr stuff, mm-hmm. and then one day, like I went to search for it, and it's now like some random company has like that URL. I don't know why, but
that's whack.
Women burning things can figure out if you can pay less on your electricity bill.
Well, my favorite gif of something burning is waiting to exhale Angela Bassett.
Oh, that's a classic, top tier.
What is your favorite?
Christina Ricci in Adam's Family Values when she has the match because they're doing like the Thanksgiving pageant.
Yes, that one's good.
That's like always one that's like kind of funny. Also, there was like one that I found, or no, because then people were starting to send me submissions. Mm. And someone sent me some from a film. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's definitely like late 1940s or an early 1950s film. And it's like a gorgeous shot of a woman throwing a, it's a
gif of,
it's a gas lamp. Exactly, thank you.
I like fire lantern,
and they're throwing it, and just the shot's gorgeous because it's like she throws it like kind of like towards the camera and then it like catches on fire in the frame, and it's just, I was obsessed with it. Yeah, I was like, this is like a great shot. And but then also Laura Dern and Enlightened.
What has been your most trash experience in comedy?
Oh God. I will say, okay. I would say this is like, I don't know if this is like a move, and I'm only saying it might be a move because it's like, it reminds me of 30 Rock when Jenna's like, the worst thing you could do is reintroduce yourself to someone. That's like something where I'm like, okay, I'm really not sure if
you actually like don't remember me or
right, because like okay, because some people meet a lot of people and you got to keep that in mind. Like when I was in college, I interned for a nightlife personality doing like assistant work on like parties, and
that's amazing.
She did not remember who I was for like I would say like 6 or 7 meetings, because one, she just meets so many people, and two, it's always at parties. So like eventually, like, she remembered who I was, and, like, but I remember, like, someone at the time being, like, don't take it personally, like, she doesn't remember who anyone is for, like, a couple of meetings, and she was great, but I would say, like, I'm not sure if it's, like, then again, the 30 Rock situation, that, like, sometimes it's, like, a little move that people use where they're, like, nice to meet you, and it's, like, I'm, like, we've done your show, or, like, we've met before, and I'm always a little bit, like, you know, I never want to assume that, like, it's, like, someone doing it on purpose. But, like, at the same time, I'm like, are you doing this on purpose?
It has to be 50-50.
It could be 50-50 because people and their fucking moves, that's, like, it's, like, when people are, like, oh, my God, let's add each other on Instagram. And then they unfollow you for clout so that it could show, like, the ratio.
Never experienced. But there's the thing that I don't perform a lot, like, too much. Like, I do, like, a show. And then I've done like little things here and there, but like I'm not super like active in the scene, so like I don't really expect people to always remember who I am, or like, but I'm just saying because like I've never had anyone like do that to me.
People done that. I was like at a party with like all the, like with my comedian friends Marsha, Drew, Fair, all these people, and then but I didn't know like the host that well, and the host turns to me and they're like, do you do comedy? And I'm like, yeah, we've done like 3 shows together, but you always leave after your set. Like, okay, bitch.
I mean, like, and that's also like, again, like, there's a line also like, is that on purpose or is that also just like someone's stuff? Is that like someone who, like, because I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, a lot of performers, like, are just like, by the way their brain functions, thinking of like themselves. Like, and like, they maybe don't even mean it personally. It's just like how their gears turn. And I don't know. Like, I feel like that's been... See, but that's the thing. Like, I don't even have, like, that bad of, like, a comedy story. I'm sure other people have, like, horror stories. But
yeah, that's true.
I'm not in the scene enough. Yeah, that's true. I'm not.
Okay. Before we go to our lightning round, I do want to hear your thoughts. Go back to The Real Housewives. Your general thoughts. How the all dick is trash philosophy goes into the housewives thing. I feel like there are a lot older women, so it's, like, really interested to hear how they... You know, because there's a lot of, like, slut-shamey situations and shit. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that and, like, how you consume as a fan and all that stuff.
All housewives, I feel like it applies the same rule. All housewives are at least questionable until proven otherwise. Because here's the thing. Have you ever started, like you start watching a housewife and you're like, oh, like, I think Leanne Locken's, like, a great example, right?
What? You gotta...
She's Dallas. Okay. She, like... Right, like, big personality, really, like, gives the show what it needs in terms of, like, drama, because, like, Housewives is interesting to me because it's, like, that dynamic of, like, it's quote-unquote real, but it's also, like, it's also a show, and, like, they're constructing these characters, and Leanne is a great character, whatever, but, like, even, like, last season, she was, like, with the borderline crazy, she was the one who was like, these hands. Like, she was like, these hands don't need knives in them. They're just hands. But she's the one who said, like, all that threatening stuff behind the closed door with her mic hot. She...
What threatening stuff to who?
Oh, she... Okay, because, like, another housewife and her were kind of, like, sparring back and forth. And she said... She said, one of the housewives goes to get... Brandy goes to get, I think, plastic surgery or surgery.
Okay.
Or maybe it was Leanne getting it. I forget who. But they're behind a closed door at this doctor's office. They're talking about this other housewife, Carrie. And she's like... Leanne's, like, talking about her. And she's like, her husband gets his dick sucked at the roundup. I know the boys who did it. So, like, saying her husband goes to a gay bar and, like, you know, meets men. And then she says, like... these hands don't need knives in them. They're just hands. Like,
oh, wow.
That she could, like...
kill her, yeah.
So she, right, like, was, she gives a lot, right? And the, but, like, people are like, oh, my God, stan her. Like, yeah. She's kooky crazy. She, like, she's giving me everything I need on the show. But then now, like, this season rolls around, and, like, she's saying, like, racist stuff.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it's just, like, there's no housewife who, like, when they come on the scene, even if they're, like, Real Housewives of New Jersey, season one, Teresa seems like America's sweetheart. And people used to say she's America's sweetheart. And she's a very complicated figure. Like, so it's just, to me, it's like, I don't think any of them are like, I wouldn't stan any of them. I wouldn't say, like, I'm a fan of any of them. But it's like, I find them, like, interesting and fascinating to watch a lot of the times. So that's, like, kind of, like, my take on it, which goes back to kind of my take around, like, all dick is trash. Yeah. It's, like, you really got to prove yourself. Otherwise, there's some, like, housewives who I feel like are probably, for the most part, good. Stephanie from Dallas, I'm getting good vibes from. It's been, like, three seasons of her, and I feel, no, like, kind of.
You know what, though? Everyone has disappointed me. Like, they're all about a gay best friend, but once anyone's a lesbian or even just a little bi, they get so homophobic.
Correct.
Like,
they get homophobic, like...
I mean, in
every
general,
fucking franchise, like, there's like a gay, you know,
they're
what I mean?
So scared of lesbians. Though.
I feel like on OC, they're all like, oh, we love gays. And then, like, if you watch this past season, like, they go to a drag show and Vicky's like, sorry, drags, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, anything that's like different gender wise, anything, like, a lot of them, I feel like, are not.
If you're outside of their, like, said, sorry, perfect drags, picture, like twink that, like, just follows them around, like, in their head, that, like, that's just.
Well, it goes back to, like, gay men as accessories.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, that's always been a thing. But I mean, and that's, like, I think a double-sided coin, because at the same time, I think a lot of gay men can be very femphobic, and a lot of gay men can also be very misogynistic.
Oh, for sure.
So.
For sure. And that's, like, a whole
other
fucking podcast about the...
Because I feel like some gay guys really want to get into that, like, of, like, oh, like, girls, like, treat us as accessories, or, like, oh, those girls who came through a bachelorette party in the gay bar. And it's like, yeah, like, if you're bringing your bachelorette party through the gay bar, like,
that's
be respectful of, like, the space that you're in. But, like, also, like, people, like, you can go to a gay bar. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, be respectful of the space in terms of, like, maybe stay there until like midnight and then like get out before like cruising hour starts, because that would just be weird anyway. But like what I'm saying is like a lot of gay guys like start to, I feel like, really harp on that. And like there is some kind of truth to it, but it's a far more nuanced, because I feel at the end of the day, like many gay men are just kind of misogynistic. And it's
I used to go all the time in Miami to gay clubs, like all the time to clubs, exactly, unfortunately, like Pulse, you know, like Latino net and stuff. And like, you know, people say like, oh yeah, there's like comfort in like gay clubs, and there is, but like also too, some gay guys get like out of pocket with like, oh honey, and touch the titties, my ass, oh my god, makeup, they're pulling my hair, like, you know, that kind of shit too. Is like, it's different, it's nuanced. So I kind of feel like, yeah, I mean, personally, even though like ally, whatever, I gay icon, maybe people have called me that.
Oh, Millie, I would say for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I'm a rumored gay icon. I don't feel comfortable going to like gay clubs alone, you know what I mean, without like a friend. But like, yeah, it's just like this whole thing of like, but if you're having the bachelorette conversation, then you need to have the appropriation of black women culture conversation.
There's so many straight girls grabbing gay men. Like, there's just so many conversations.
But there's also like a white gaze with the okay, hunty, sis, and like my wig and all that stuff is like, that's the conversation that needs to be had too if we're going to go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting how like that like gets like kind of appropriated like through like cultural channels, right? Most phrases, most phrases that are like popular, beloved, originate from black femmes, or black gay men, and black women. So like what happens is like it gets like kind of like removed through like various channels, whether it's like intentional or not. Like I think specifically about like Drag Race, right? Like drops these like phrases and stuff because they're paying homage usually, but then like people then think like, oh okay, this is gay culture, this is my culture, this is like what I can use. And they don't really learn like the kind of where something's from, or like the history of it, or if it's appropriate or not.
And gay culture is black culture is,
yeah,
every Black History Month I post the Shangela
sugar daddy monologue,
and it's like happy Black History Month. Okay, we're gonna do a lightning round and then we're gonna get out of here.
Yeah,
so I give you a list of things and you tell me if they're trash or not.
Sure.
Ready?
Yeah.
The Countess Luann in Friends Cabaret.
Not trash. I would say it's am I just supposed to give like a,
you're
quick
fumbling
answer?
Over your word. No, just trash
because,
or not.
Because I would say not. It's not trash because I think it has camp value.
Okay, camp value. Great. Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, not trash. No.
Kermit the Frog's new girlfriend, Denise.
Who's Denise?
Ooh, trash.
2015. Yeah. So
they
broke up.
They did a reboot and Kermit got a new bitch.
Oh, wait. I know who Denise is. She's the brunette. Oh, yeah. Trash. No, Miss Piggy all the way.
Miss Piggy all the way, honey.
That's a work romance, too.
Yeah.
Winter Solstice.
Not trash. No.
HBO's Watchmen.
Oh, not trash. That was my favorite show of the year.
Real Housewives of D.C.?
Not trash. It is a cultural touchstone. Okay, do you know the government had to like get tapes from Bravo to review how that couple got into the White House?
Yes.
Yeah, not a great season of television, but culturally important.
Oh yeah, that's the only saving grace.
What? I don't know any of this. Kim Petras.
I would say not trash, however, like
With an asterisk.
Complicated. That's a
not
complicated
trash
situation.
Not trash. She might be recycled.
Oh. Well, here, okay. Can I,
Dr.
Can
Luke?
I make a,
yeah,
one? So my little cousin, who I love, always rags on me, right? Constantly. But she has this thing where, like, she told me once that a couple years ago that I wasn't garbage, because she was calling things garbage. Oh, that's garbage if she didn't like something. And she said to me, you're not garbage, Alex. You're like clean garbage. You're like something at a tag sale. So like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like there's something there where it's like, the case could be made for sure. But there's like there's something there's redeemable there, sure, maybe.
We could put a belt on it. We could.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the Dr. Luke thing.
Oh, well, it's like such a compliment because listen, at the end of the day.
That's all her songs are produced by Dr. Luke.
At the end of the day, I want to root for Kim Petras, but everybody, like I feel like I'm like it's uncomfortable, man. It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Well, and that's where we'll end.
Oh, do you not want to tell this story?
Oh, well,
yes, tell it. I want to tell. Okay. Do it. Do it.
Should I just do it so you have it?
Huh?
Should I just do it so you have it?
Just tell us the story and then we'll wrap.
Okay. Okay. So I was hanging with this guy who was like pretty cute, kind of odd, like an eyeball, like that was like right away, like very evident, but like very cute, very sweet guy. And this was a couple years ago. I was unemployed. And the next day I had a job interview. So it was like, what, like 10:15 or so, like almost 10:30. I'm like, I got to head to bed. I got this job interview in the morning, whatever. And, you know, I get the ping from him of like, hey, I just got off on a subway stop, like right by your apartment. And like, he like lived in not far from me, but like not close enough. So I was kind of like, he was like, do you want to hang out like just for a little bit? And I was like, yeah, we can hang out. And he's like, okay, I'll be there really, really soon. And we're chatting over an app, which is a geolocation based app. So I know he's not that far. And I'm like, okay, you know, I got to get up early tomorrow. So, like, you know, let's, how soon do you think? He's like, I'll be there really soon. Cool, cool, cool. And then it's like, 5 minutes goes by and it's like, okay. 10 minutes goes by and I'm like, okay, like, you know, where is he? Like, maybe he got held up a little. 15 minutes goes by and I'm kind of like, where is he at? Like, what's happening here? And I start looking at the app and the distance keeps changing. Like, he'll get like a little bit closer. But then, like, a couple minutes later, I look at him, like, why is he, like, looks like he's a little farther? I'm like, is he confused about where I am or whatever? I'm waiting, like, 20 minutes goes by. It's almost, like, 25 minutes. So, like, and I was, like, he was pretty close. So, like, it's weird that he's, like, not here yet.
Yeah.
I lived in a building. You entered the code. And so we've hung out a bunch of times. So he knew my code. So I hear someone enter the code and come in. I'm like, okay, that's probably cool. So I'm waiting for him to, like, come in through the door and, like, nothing, like no knock, no nothing. I'm like, where is he? And like I wait like a couple of, like it's like 2 minutes and I'm like, where? I'm like not that far from the door, like where could he be? And I go and I look through the peephole of the door and I see him walking in the hallway, like walking, like go by my door, come back, go by my door, come back. I'm like, what is happening? And I open the door and he like gets a little surprised. He's like, oh hey, sorry. And I was like, maybe he was just confused about what door I was in, like not sure where to go, but I'm like, whatever, come in. So whatever, I'm like in bed at this point, like being like, now we're like, we probably won't even hang out that long, like let's just like, you know, mess around and like call it a night or whatever. And he starts like taking off his shirt, and as he does, he looks at his watch and he goes, do you mind if I just take 10 more steps so I get my 10,000 steps in? And I realized, like, all at once, I was like, he was walking around because he wanted to get his steps in.
I would have been less disappointed if it was
before the
meth.
End of the night. And I was like,
kidding?
And then without missing a beat, he starts walking around like right in front of my bed going 1, 2, 3. And I was like, you need to take those last 7 steps out the door because like, I can't do this tonight. I'm so sorry. I cannot do this. And he was like, and I could tell me that he was like kind of hurt and like, I felt a little bit bad. But then he said to me, he was like, I guess you just don't like quirky people. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, are you reading anything like on my face that like I'm comfortable with this situation or whatever? And he did end up leaving. And I get it. He really wanted those 10 steps. And like, maybe I could have let him have them. But at that point, it was like the principle of the thing. And I was like, no.
Take the last 7 the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he was sweet. But like, I was like, that was no. Would you have? Would you have let him take the steps?
No.
I probably wouldn't, because I'm an idiot. If it hasn't been established already in this podcast,
and if there was any kind of inkling in my mind to kind of like give him that chance, once he said quirky, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah,
yeah. I was
I
just
guess
like,
you don't like quirky people.
I was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not in the mood now. I'm so not funny. In
no,
the mood.
You psycho! You called me 20 minutes ago.
But
well, thank you so much for coming on our show. Where can we catch you? What's your plug?
You can catch me at It Gets Better, like my last name, BEDDER, mm-hmm. on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll have some more Housewives shows.
Yes, would love.
At some point, I would love that.
Yes.
But otherwise, yeah, that's about it. That's about it for now.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.